Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. Decoding the Antichrist. I'll tell you how bad it is that I was drawing a blank. I read the book. I actually read it. So let me tell you, I don't know if you heard the interview with Pastor Mark Belts, but it was a great interview, but the book is a pretty amazing book. You know, it's not a, you know, we will see the Antichrist on March 7th, 2023. It's not one of those books. It is a book that will expose and help you understand using biblical references that we have seen through Scripture of pictures of the Antichrist. And look, if you want to know who the enemy is, if you want to know the enemy, you need to be able to recognize the enemy. And that's why I like the book. I had no intention. I'm going to be honest with you, because I don't get a chance to sit and read books. It's an easy read. It's not a real long book, maybe 200 pages. But, you know, it's an interesting book. It holds your attention, so it's easy to read. So check it out. It's called Decoding the Antichrist, and we are running spots throughout the program because we want people to understand it, read it, and get that. So my wife is reading it right now. She said to me this morning that, in fact, she was glad she was reading it, and she's anxious to finish it. So Decoding the Antichrist by Pastor Mark Belts. You can go to Amazon. You can go to El Shaddai Ministries. Many of you know El Shaddai Ministries. Pastor Mark Belts is the founder of that ministry. So you can go there. You can go to decodingtheantichrist.com. Decodingtheantichrist.com and order the book there. But you need to get it. And no, we don't have it on our website. So I got emails about that last night, this morning. We don't have it on our website. I don't think we're going to have it on our website. Maybe we will someday, but we don't. Anyway, it is a good book. It's one that you've got to read. And you know me. I never say that. When was the last time? I talked about Alan West's book, because it was just that great. It made so much sense from a patriotic perspective. I'm only giving you stuff that I know that because we're like-minded, I really believe these are things that you guys are going to enjoy and want to hear. So anyway, I hope you'll check it out, Decoding the Antichrist, Pastor Mark Belts. It is a great, it's a great read. It's a great book. And it's going to give you a lot to share. I know you're going to give it away. As soon as you read it, you're going to give it to somebody to read, somebody in your small group. You might want to buy two, but I know that you're going to give it away. Anyway, I can't, as soon as my wife's done with it, it's gone if she doesn't take it and give it to somebody first, which she'll probably do. All right, 844-707-5533, all the indices in positive territory right now. It looks like the financial news talking about this, you know, notion of President Trump coming out, pretty affirmative and saying, look, hey, we're not going to, look, this March 1st deadline, not a big deal. It can come, it can go, we're all right with it, we get it, we understand, it's fine, we're not concerned about it. If we know that we are in the midst of negotiations that, by the way, are going very well, so therefore we are not, you know, we don't want to upset the apple cart. This is, I'm reading into all the things that he said. It's not what he said, it's what I'm saying right now based on what he said. So my kind of assumptions and putting to you what he said. This is very good for markets. I think right now markets are waiting for Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. He is getting ready at 2 o'clock, 2:15, somewhere in that neighborhood, Eastern time. to give his take on the Beige Book, on their meeting, the minutes of their meeting with the Fed presidents. He's going to talk about that. He's going to give you some, give us some insights as to where he thinks we might be going, the Fed might be going. I think it's going to be a very dovish tone, like it has been. I don't think we're going to hear anything about rising interest rates. I'm sure he will reference the economy. He'll say things like the economy is still strong. He is probably concerned about a tightening labor market, although I don't believe that that ought to be a concern. That was a concern of mine last year. I wrote about it a year and a half ago about revising our legal immigration system because I said it was going to stop our growth if we continue to grow, as President Trump indicated we will, and I was concerned about that. So, look, I don't think it is necessarily something that we have got to, I don't know, be overly concerned about, because I don't think he is going to, I don't think there's going to be any issues. I think we're on the right track and we're going to move along here and get this deal negotiated. And it's getting easier and easier every day for us to have leverage when we negotiate with Japan and we negotiate with Europe. All right, here comes our Ag Report. Craig Haugard, we'll be right back.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Corn struggled yesterday as disappointing weekly export inspections numbers pressured the market. Weekly export inspections came in at 37.1 million bushels, which is well below the 53.5 million that we need to average to achieve the USDA's annual export projection. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading 3 cents higher. March soybeans broke below the $9 mark for the first time since January 17th yesterday. Lack of apparent progress from the current round of Chinese talks pressured the soybean complex lower. Now, after the close, President Trump tweeted that, quote, the March 1 deadline is not a magical date. China trade talks are going well, but are complex. China is moving fast to avoid having tariffs go up, unquote. It is anticipated that this tweet may result in a bounce in the bean markets today. Weekly export inspections came in at 37.9 million bushels, which was in the range of trade guesses and stronger than what we need to average to hit the USDA's projection. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading a penny lower as I record this. The wheat market continued to push towards and through contract lows yesterday as we struggled to find our globally competitive level. Traders are going to be watching to see if we get any fresh business at current price levels, as well as what the quantity of that business is. We're going to be getting new export sales numbers released on Friday, so the trade will be watching that very closely. It's also worth noting that Egypt is tendering for wheat today, so we'll see if we can pick up some of that business. Overall, though, when you look at the weekly export inspections that we released yesterday, they're very poor at 13.1 million bushels. We need to average 28.1 million per week to hit the USDA's projections. At the end of the day yesterday, we set a new life of contract low in Kansas City futures, and we're closing in on them in Chicago and Minneapolis as well. In the overnight trade, Chicago and Kansas City are both trading up 3 cents, while Minneapolis is trading up a penny. Cotton futures closed slightly higher yesterday, although they did close near the low of the session, which was somewhat concerning. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are bouncing a little bit and trading up 30 points as I record this. Probably the biggest news in the agricultural commodity markets yesterday came in the hog market, where we were rocked by reports that African swine fever had been found in Canada, and that took hog futures limit down. The communications manager for the Canadian Pork Council came out after the close of the market and said that rumor is totally false. And if that report proves to be true, we should see this market bounce back today. But yesterday, at least, saw the April lean hogs close down 300 points as they settled at 56.52. April live cattle were $1.27.5 higher for the day yesterday, while March feeder cattle closed up $1.15. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were down 12 cents at $2.17.27, while selects were 57 cents higher as they settled at $2.13.54. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed $1.67 lower for the day as they settled out at $59.91. March Class 3 milk futures had a good session as they closed up 17 points, settling at $14.70. In the overnight trade, they're trading up an additional point. This is...
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Okay, we're going to get to phones. Great book, by the way. You heard that little spot on that, Decoding the Antichrist. It is a great book, and one you need to pick up. You can go to Amazon and get it, or any bookstore, or decodingtheantichrist.com. It is a great book. Anyway, 844, no, I'm not getting a commission. It's a good book. I want you to read it. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. So cue your call. I'm trying to get my computer up. I guess maybe it's working. I don't know. 844-707-5533. All the indices in positive territory, they moved up a little bit. I mean, they're off, you know, for me, from my standpoint, they're still on the flat line. I mean, they're not up much, barely an eighth of 1%. That's pretty much flat, could go either way at any moment. Just not a lot of movement. And I don't think we're going to see any until this afternoon after the Federal Reserve comes out and speaks. So we're waiting for that, and we'll, you know, all the markets are waiting for that. So we'll see what happens after that. We'll see where the market closes. That's all that really matters, right? So anyway, that's what we're waiting for, and that's what the markets are waiting for. That's why there's not a lot of movement, not a lot of volatility in this, because you know, everybody wants to make sure the Fed doesn't say anything crazy like, hey, we're going to raise rates, in the next 6 months. Not going to happen. The chance of that happening, very, very slim. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, we've got a line open. Now would be a good time. Let me go to Bill. Bill's calling us from North Carolina. Hi, Bill.
Dan, good morning. I'm bar none, I'm the world's worst tax man, and this could be the dumbest question you've taken all year. As with so many people under the new tax laws, I forgot to deduct enough this past year, and I didn't want to owe. And yesterday I got a call from my tax man, and he said, hey, Bill, why don't you take a little from your non-IRA side and transfer it over as an IRA contribution to the IRA side, something I'm not crazy about, but in this instance, I could see where it'd be a chance to get away, get out from under a couple that I got before I became a partner. But they've appreciated, and I'm wondering, Dan, isn't it catch-22, if you do that, don't you have to pay caps gains on the on the gains, or am I cuckoo on this one? I just wanted to, I've never done it, and I just wanted to pick your brain on this. It sounds like it's kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul, but yeah. I guess it's an old tax trick, but I was going to see what you thought, and I guess the main thing is the tax. I didn't want to run into a situation where I saved on one hand and had to pay on the other hand, so I just wanted to see how you felt about that.
Well, if you're, they're not in an IRA account now, which it doesn't sound like they are, so when you sell them, yes, you will have to pay capital gains on that. And then you can move it over at that point into your traditional IRA account, which that will come off the top of your income. But even if you didn't have to pay capital gains, I would probably tell you, hey, think about it before you do it, only because. So all you're doing is, yes, you got to pay some tax this year, but then someday you're going to use that money that you put over there, and you're going to have to pay tax in all likelihood at a higher tax rate. So, I mean, you're not, keep in mind, and I say this for everybody listening, keep in mind when we do stuff like that, I mean, it's okay. We might have an immediate need and we just don't want to pay the tax. Now, I get that and understand, and that's fine. But keep in mind, we're just postponing. We're not avoiding. And we sometimes we get in our minds that we're avoiding. We're not avoiding. We're just postponing it. And you know what? I'm still working. I still got an income. I'd rather pay it now. Why I have a little money coming in than I might want to pay it when I'm 75 or whatever. So that's how you ought to think of it. But yes, you would you would take something that you've paid capital gains tax on and change that over to now you got to pay income tax on it. Now, be it might be 10 years from now or whatever, but so you're kind of getting taxed on a little bit more than you'd like to.
Yeah, and then real quick, on one that I've loved over the years, your MA46. It's a mining clay, and I've loved it, and of course loved the dividend. But and now they're even into remote control freight trains. They're into some amazing things. But I'm just wondering, at this point, is it, as with so many things, it's so high? Should I just leave it and just let it grind along, or should I trim or get out from under it? I'm just wondering if I should just keep, as I said, I've loved it over the years, but just wondering, it's pretty steep right now in price-wise. I just wanted to, which is a good thing, want to make sure it's still a good thing. So
yeah, I'm trying to find out what stock it is. So hold on, I'm digging here, but I'm looking for the symbol. My computer's, I don't know what it is. I thought maybe somebody in the control room would have it, but they don't have it either, I guess.
It's the first word of a South American city, and I don't know.
That helps. Are you up considerably in it?
Yeah, and as I said, it's a good problem, and I just didn't know if I should just hang tough or...
Is it in an IRA account?
Let's see. It is. Yeah.
It is, yeah. If you're up considerably on it, might not be a bad idea.
Okay.
If you hang on to it, it'll probably be fine. But, I think it would be. So that's another one of these companies that is going to keep getting better as we get closer to trade deals, as we get closer to, I don't know if we're going to see infrastructure this in the next couple of years, but we certainly will if we can hold the White House and maybe gain back the House. We'll definitely see an infrastructure bill. So that company is going to benefit by that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Dan, as always, thanks so very much. I really appreciate it. And as I said, I'm really bad when it comes to tax time. I'm just like a babe in the woods on some of these things, and I really appreciate your input on that. I wasn't crazy about it. It just didn't ring quite right to me.
Well, you were wise not to jump right at it.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. All right. God bless. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Brenda. Brenda's calling us from Virginia. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Dan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is my first time calling you.
Welcome.
Just wanted to know that we really appreciate everything you do out here, Dan.
Thank you.
I had a question for you. My husband is 72 years old, and he has dementia. Mm-hmm. I am 59 years old, and I am his caregiver. Mm-hmm. And we had $305,000 in an annuity, and I also had an annuity from my previous employer. And with the fourth quarter, we've lost 10%, about $40,000, and I wanted your advice on what I should do, especially since I'm making all the decisions now, and I just want to, make the right choices. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of money, but what I do have, I want to hold on to.
Sure. How long have you had that annuity?
Since 2005.
Yeah. Is it an IRA annuity?
It is a not a...
Qualified, the, non-qualified?
Non-qualified.
Non-qualified, okay.
Yes.
I would, I think it would be in your best interest to get out of it.
To get out.
How long did you have losses last year at the end of the year?
No, we had a really good year for 2017.
Yeah.
And on up until the third quarter of 2018, but the last quarter, like I said, we've lost $40,000, and it's devastating.
Yeah.
To me at this point, because like I said, I'm making all the financial decisions here, and I just wanted to see if you could help me.
Yeah, I would want you to surrender that, move it out.
Okay.
And I think it might be, so how much does that one have in it?
That one has right now, as of the end of the year, $160,700.
And did the one that is the bigger one, did that lose last year too?
Well, the 160,700, that was the large one. That was.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 305.
No, it was. This was a Hartford, and then they sold out to the Talcott.
Yeah.
And so that one is 160,700, and then I had one for Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And that is $105,200.
Yeah. So is the Jackson non-qualified as well?
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would move them both. I think it would be in your best interest. Did the Jackson go down last year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want you to move those. I would do it sooner rather than later.
Okay,
I would surrender those. So what's going to happen is you're going to get a check. You're going to call them, tell them you want to surrender the policies. There shouldn't be any real tax. There's going to be a minor tax event because these are non-qualified. So the money that's in there was taxable money. There may be some a little bit of gain and some return of profits on principal. So there may be some of that, and it may be a taxable event. I wouldn't worry too much about that. That's fine. I think you ought to move, and I'm going to tell you as soon as I get back. I'm right up against this break.
Okay.
So
thank you, Dan.
Hang on with this, Brenda.
Okay,
folks,
great.
We'll be right. All right, I'm trying to go back to Brenda. I don't see her in the queue. I'm going to try to put her on. Let me see if I can do that. Brenda, you there? Okay.
Yes.
Good. So what I would do with those annuities, I would like you, you're going to surrender those. You're going to call the 800 number that is on the policy. You're going to call that 800 number. You're going to tell them you want to surrender their policy. There should not be any surrender charges. Did you get both of these about 2005?
Yes, both
okay.
of them. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there won't be any surrender charges. So I wouldn't be too, or at least ask that, but I don't think there's going to be. So I would put that in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I would ladder out some CDs. You can go to Christian Community Credit Union and get some good CD rates if you want to do that. Christian Community Credit Union, you just go on our website at Financial Issues and click on Christian Community Credit Union.
Uh-huh.
And you can sign the check over to your account that you're going to set up at the credit union or at the bank, and maybe just ladder out some CDs. But I think it would be wise. I mean, you've got $265,000 here.
Right.
You are in a caregiving place, and you are. Is your husband? Is he getting Social Security?
He is. He's getting Social Security, and
okay.
we own our own home. And that's valued at $500,000.
And what about your health care? What are you doing for that?
Actually, I don't have health care at this point, Dan.
Okay. So are you in okay health?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm in good health, so I don't have...
Brenda, I would love for you to go to Samaritan Ministries, get an individual policy, even if you only got their catastrophic kind of policy. If you're trying to save a little bit of money, but I don't know what their individual policy is. It's maybe $250, somewhere in that range a month. But it's health sharing. It'll keep you. You don't want to get into a situation. I always worry about caregivers because I know what a strain it is. It's so difficult. And, you know, oftentimes the caregiver gets worn down and run down and has issues. And I don't want you have an opportunity now to avoid getting into, you know, debt. And and you can do it relatively inexpensively by going to Samaritan Ministries. So I would ask you to do that just as a favor to yourself. It really is something that you need to have. And, you know, if God forbid you should come down with something that is major, you know, you'll be able to go to whatever doctor you want to go to, whatever hospital you need to go to. You'll get great care, and it's going to cost you maybe $300, you know. I mean, it's not going to cost much. And they'll pay for everything by sharing it with like-minded people. So go call there. I'll give you their number in a minute if I can I can dig it up here. But and then what I want you to do is ladder out your CDs. So you know, you probably go ahead.
So I'm going to be moving them into CDs. And Dan, we had, like I said, we had done real well on the first three quarters of last year, and you know, thinking long term for myself and for my husband, I want to be able to get in the best place that I need to. And you feel like right now I need to go ahead and get out of the mutual funds?
Well, I think you need to get out of the annuities and the mutual funds are in. I wouldn't have a problem by starting to develop with that whole pot of money an income portfolio.
Okay.
And that means you would own various stocks and such that are generating income. And I would tell you there is a person that I would recommend to help you, but it's the only person I would recommend because I just don't feel comfortable. And I can put you on hold and Darlene can give you that information.
Oh, that would be wonderful, Dan.
So I'll do that, and that would be a great option for you. But I still want, do you have emergency savings?
Yes, I have about $25,000.
Okay, all right, perfect. That's perfect, then. You don't need more than that. Samaritan Ministries phone number is 877-764-2426. And ask them any questions you want. You can ask them to send you a packet of information so that you can see how it all works. But it's what my wife and I have been using for years. All of our employees here that are fall under our health plan have that. It is a great, great, it's God's plan for healthcare. It is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out.
I've heard you speak of it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Dan.
All right, Brenda. Thank
God
you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Stay strong.
Thank you.
Let me go to, let's see, Melody. Hey, Melody.
Hi, Dan. I have several questions for you.
Okay.
Since you updated the portfolios, the percentages.
Yes.
I am over in a couple of sectors. And I noticed that one that I had in materials on MA30, I'm down 13%. And it is on the broad list. Can I wait to sell that until it's back up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Don't sell that. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when it is up, should I sell it and buy things that are on the buy list that are not foundational, or just keep it?
So no, I would just keep it. I wouldn't even think about selling it. I would keep that.
Okay.
I think that's fine. When you say you're over in some of the sectors now, by how much roughly?
Just 3-4%, just the amounts that you changed.
Okay,
by,
okay.
Really.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I wouldn't worry about it. We'll revisit it maybe at the end of March.
Okay.
And see what it looks like. Obviously, as some of the positions that you're down in, as they come about, as they start to come around, that's going to throw you over a little bit further. But that's a foundational. I would hang on to it.
Okay. Then my next question was, I'm up in E43. I'm up 8.5%. So should I sell that and buy E27, 40, or 58, or just keep it?
So are you overweighted?
I am
considerably.
3% in that.
Okay. I feel like E43, is that one of the ones you said?
That's the one I have, and it's up 8.5%.
Yeah.
And I noticed it wasn't on the buy list anymore, so I didn't know if I should keep it and get one that's on there. Or...
Oh, no. So when things move off the buy list, it just means it's a hold.
Okay.
So there's no reason to do anything with it.
Okay.
I think that E43 has some room to run. They had a very good report. They've been stalled for a long time. I like what they're doing. They are very active in the infrastructure of energy. And it's foundational. I would hang on to it.
Good deal. One last question. I just want to clarify. I'm in for the long term, and so am I supposed to buy FP37? It's an income stock, and it's the only stock that's on the buy list in that sector.
No.
No.
Nope. No. No.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't worry about it. Yep.
Okay.
All right,
thank
Melanie.
Thank you so much,
Melanie. Sounds like you're doing good. You're getting it. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Folks, you heard a wonderful testimony a little bit ago. I don't know if it was last hour or if it was this hour. I think it was last hour, at the end of last hour, from Patty from Ohio, who has been to two of our retreats, who says, you know, don't miss it. You know, it was so refreshing. And, you know, Augie is, I made me think of it because I'm looking at Facebook, and Augie on Facebook says, man, he can't wait to get with like 90 people, rejuvenate the soul. And that's what this is, folks. I promise you, and anybody that's been to one can attest to this. This isn't a commercial. It's not a fundraiser. It's not a seminar. It's not a conference. It's none of those things. It is a retreat that we put together because we wanted to give everybody an opportunity that is part of the Financial Issues family, an opportunity to see and feel and be a part of a real spiritual retreat. That's what it is. We're going to be in God's Word. We're going to be worshiping. We are going to have fellowship and so much fun that you can't even imagine. You're never going to want to leave, and you're going to be looking forward to the next one. So I hope you'll...
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me just finish here. Let's see. Ian, you got a testimony on there from Facebook. What is that?
We do. We have a testimony from Hernando from Facebook. He sent us a private message.
Okay.
He just said, "Hi, Dan. What a godsend you are. And I've been with your ministry for several years now." And then he also had a question about a specific kind of cryptocurrency. And he wants to know how to convince his friends that going into that cryptocurrency is not the way to invest all of their money.
Great question, Hernando. I appreciate that. And thank you for your encouragement. Sure do appreciate it. Boy, I don't know how you convince them because they're so sold out on it, so many people. I had the same situation with a brother-in-law of mine, you know, and he bought it and it crashed and I haven't heard from him. It's a funny thing. But anyway, I told him not to. I don't know how you convince him. I wouldn't. I'd say go for it and just, you know, let him do it. The best thing he can do is say, "Hey, I got an idea. Why don't, instead of putting how much money they want to put in, how about you put half of that in or a quarter of that in and let it see how it goes and see how you feel about how it's going." Look, another thing I'll tell you, Hernando, JP Morgan announced a cryptocurrency, JP Morgan. Now, it's only going to be used for their customers that are trading in their accounts. And guess what? It's pegged on the dollar. So really, they're calling it a cryptocurrency. But basically, it's a credit card. Okay, so which that is the greatest form of electronic currency that we've had since 1956. So in a big way anyway, since then, that's when the first multi-purpose credit card came out. Trivia, what card do you think it was? But well, I'll let you think about that. So, I mean, you can say, "Hey, try it, you know, with a little bit and see how it works out for you." And if you're okay with the steep losses and this, look, the cryptocurrencies until now, this is a JP Morgan move is the beginning, maybe. But the only thing that's going to give cryptocurrency credibility is going to be accountability. It's going to have to be pegged to something. It can't just be, well, I don't know, whatever. It's got to be traceable so that you can see the moves that it's making. And it's got to be recognized if it's not developed by, which I think is the way a credible cryptocurrency is going to come out, by a central bank somewhere around the world, maybe the IMF. I know they would like to be the first to have this out. So I wouldn't, you know, I would say that, you know, remember, this is the currency of terrorists, of con artists, of drug dealers. Why? Because it can't be traced. If it can't be traced when it's stolen, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars have been stolen, disappeared. There is no way that it can. Well, that can't happen. It can't be hacked. Then how did that happen? It has been hacked. Yeah, the Pentagon can't be hacked either. It gets hacked every year. So look, if somebody was smart enough to develop this blockchain, somebody is smart enough to get into it. You know that, I know that, and that's, you got to explain those things to them. That might be a help. Let me go to Russell in Florida. Hey, Russell.
Hey, Dan. I got a energy stock E59. I've had it for over a year. I caught dollar cost share down. Now it's finally to the point where I need to take some profit, but considering European banks, and that's that company, I believe, is over there in Europe.
Yes.
Should I just, like, now that I'm can take profits, should I just take it all instead of just selling off some of it?
I would.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, yeah, I would sell it. I'm not
like under in my I'm not underweighted in energy like most folks. I guess I'm a little overweighted.
So E59 is a company that when people talk about green energy and those kinds of things is going to benefit. It's really, I have it under the power industry or energy company. I mean, some have it listed as an industrial. Look, the fact of the matter, I mean, they are probably leading the world in wind energy. I mean, they're not a wind energy company, but they build the best generators, the motors that the blades sit on. They have whole systems. And they have systems here in the U.S. They're a company out of Denmark. But look, if I was up in that company right now, up, you know, pretty decent, I would probably get rid of my exposure to it. The one thing that is going to help them is they are exposed to it is a growing form of energy. I believe that if you kept that for the next 20 years, it would probably be a pretty good stock. But when that company was first publicly listed, there really wasn't any competition. So the windmills that you saw here in the U.S., it was from that company. Now they're being made here in the U.S., they're being made in China, and so on and so forth. So they got a lot of competition in that marketplace, and that's going to change the face of that company. And that would be the main reason why I tell you, hey, if you're profitable now, good time to sell and get out.
Yeah, I'm up to the point where we normally take off the
okay,
profit.
Okay, good. Yeah, I would.
I'm thinking I'll take it all off.
I would. I'd sell it out. Yep.
Yeah, they've been on a trend, though. You know, it's hard when you see one on a trend.
I know.
Up,
yeah.
It really is. It takes a lot of
courage.
It takes
courage. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I know. Yep.
All right. Well, I'll do it then.
All right.
I'll sell it out.
Thank you, Russell.
Thanks.
All right. See
God bless you. Bye.
Right. Same to you. Bye-bye. 844-707-5533, folks. We've got another hour and 10 minutes. If you want to queue your call, now would be a good time to do it. Let me go to Michael. Michael's calling us from Ohio. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Dan. Morning. God bless you.
Thank you.
Question. Well, we're getting ready to become partners, my wife and I, and start investing probably in Timothy Plan for our future. We want to start a new business. I'm self-employed now. My wife just went back to work after about 5 years of not working. And we're looking at about $15,000 capital to start the new business, which has tons of potential for growth.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an investment strategy for rapid growth that we can maybe, you know, come up with that $15,000 without going in debt?
Yeah. I don't believe there is, but if you talk to some other people, they will tell you there is and have a plan for you. I don't believe in it. I believe in it less now than I did 20 years ago. It is far too volatile. The only way you can get any kind of real significant growth in a hurry is to take real significant risk. You can't do it without taking risk. So that's going to give you potential for upside gains that are pretty significant. It's also going to give you potential for significant losses because, yes, they will go up quickly, but they can also go down significantly very quick as well. You can't have it both ways. You can't have something that's just going to go up. So you take a considerable amount of risk. So the money that you put in there could just as easily be totally lost as it could go up dramatically. So I don't do any analytics. I don't do any behavioral looks at things on the short-term, rapid gain kind of perspective. I just don't do that because I don't believe in it because it generally doesn't work. So I would not be able to recommend or help you with that at all, Michael, to be honest with you.
That's great. I love your honesty.
Yep.
Your servant's heart, and that's, you know, truth is good.
Yeah, good. Well, yeah, so, you know, again, I mean, if you talk to enough people, you'll find somebody that has a, you know, a goose that's going to lay a golden egg real quick. But be very careful when you invest like that, because it is risky, and you just got to keep that in mind.
And again, we're about to become partners too, and join and go into the Timothy plan and start.
Well, you know,
again, I'm self-employed, so that I hear you talk about it all the time, that SEP
plan, SEP.
Yeah.
SEP. Yeah. Yeah, SEP plan is a great way to go, because when you have a good year, it really helps you get more money in than you're normally allowed to put in. So that's a very good thing. And, you know, but the key to any plan like that with mutual funds like Timothy working is to try to continually put money in, even if it's $10. I know that sounds ridiculous,
exactly.
But you got to constantly be putting money in. And I'll tell you, it'll have great payoffs for you when you retire.
I'm 54 in good health. My wife is 49. We, neither one of us really have any kind of retirement. So, you know, listening to you, you know, really put on my heart, you know, and to be a good husband and have money,
yeah,
you know, for our latter year.
Yeah, absolutely. Got it. You got to do it, Michael. Man, I appreciate you calling, and thank you for your heart to want to do that. I appreciate it, and thank you for wanting to be biblically responsible. It's going to help you. Got to run, folks. If you've got to leave us, I hope you have a wonderful day. But we've got more financial issues. We've got phone lines open, 844-707-5533. Folks, remember, all that you have is His. It's all the Lord's. We will stand before Him someday. Let's be found a good and faithful steward. More financial issues right after this. We'll be back.